This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
And the reason they did is because Trae Young is a superstar in the NBA. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for the fellas today, 888-729-ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN. Get involved in the program, and I'm blown away by what we are seeing from Trae Young. What a performance last night, and the Milwaukee Bucks looked absolutely befuddled. They had no idea how to guard him, what to do with him, whether or not he was going to shoot a floater, whether or not he was going to throw an alley-oop to Clint Capella. All the issues that you've seen teams worry about with Trae Young in the first two rounds of the playoffs came to roost last night, and this guy's stepping forward. This guy's taking the next step, and it's happening right in front of our very eyes. I know it's something that we've talked about oh so much, that the superstars are made in the playoffs. And here, you get to actually see it happen. He has been absolutely phenomenal in every way. He makes the plays. He does not get rattled by bad plays. He puts them behind him so quickly. The mental toughness is outstanding. He makes a guard like Drew Holiday, who is as good of a defensive guard as there is in the league, look absolutely silly, and then a little taunt with the shoulder shake and buries the three. How do you not love this guy? He enjoys being the villain. It's absolutely awesome to watch. Every great story needs a villain. And Trae Young is that right now, but he's a villain, weirdly, that you can root for a little bit. He's kind of a more modern-day complex villain on the court, the way he plays. And the Atlanta Hawks have proven themselves to be scrappers with talent. And that's a rare combination when you can get that. They were the more mentally tough team in that game last night. How do I know? You go on the road and you win a game where you're down seven with 4 minutes left. There was the moment mid fourth quarter where it appeared the Bucks had seized control of the game and had it by the throat. And then they wilted away. They absolutely wilted away, and the Hawks took advantage of every opportunity. Last 2 minutes of that game last night, the Milwaukee Bucks were 0 for 5 from the floor. 0 for 5 from the floor. That's inexcusable. It can't happen in a game one of the playoffs on your home court where you're supposed to be so difficult to beat. You have to find a way in that game, and your superstar has to find a way in that game. And look, this is not all on Giannis, because Giannis was hitting big shots in the fourth quarter. And he had a terrific game at 32 and, double figures in rebounds and nearly had the triple-double. Don't know if he ever got that 10th assist off the top of my head, but you see what the guy is capable of. Yet, he's kind of a complex star in this league, or superstar in this league, because he doesn't announce his presence with authority, if you will. He's not all over the place demanding the basketball. He's more than comfortable to let other guys around him to make plays. And frankly, I'm torn by that. Is that a good thing? In some instances, it absolutely is a very good thing. In some instances, it's not. There were times last night where Chris Middleton, who could not throw it into Lake Michigan for a good portion of the night, started to hit some shots. So Giannis kept going back to him, where Drew Holiday is hitting shots in that game. And Giannis was comfortable stepping back and allowing that to happen. And I don't know how I feel about that. I feel good that somebody trusts his teammates when he's a superstar. But this didn't have the feel of like Michael Jordan passing it to John Paxson when he's wide open, passing it to Steve Kerr when he's wide open to hit the big shot when it matters. Passing it to Bill Wennington underneath when he's already put up 55. No, this had more of the feeling like, oh, you got this? Okay. I'll sit back. I'll watch this. And that's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch Drew Holiday be inconsistent. Yes, good offensive game, but look at how that plays out over the first two series of these playoffs. Or look at how it played out. It hasn't been good. It's been inconsistent. Chris Middleton has been inconsistent. Can have a great offensive night shooting the ball one night, and then the next night he is 6-for-23. And to me, that's not a true number two star. There were times in the last series where the Milwaukee Bucks were more than happy to allow Middleton to be the guy and to hit shots. And there were frankly times where it looked like they were a lot more comfortable having him having the ball in his hands in those situations. I don't know if it's because of free throws. I don't know what it is. But they were more than happy to have that be the case as opposed to Giannis. It's not a bad thing that that's the case, but it's not a great thing either. I almost get the feeling like the Bucks, for having a player of Giannis's level, don't trust that he's always going to operate at that superstar level. But you watch the Hawks, and you watch the intimate trust that exists there. It's pretty impressive to see. No question it's impressive to see. And let's hear from Trae Young for a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because this is a guy who's more than comfortable to allow everybody to do their jobs, but doesn't feel the need to score to win, is more than happy to pass the ball to win. Trae Young is a winning player. He is a winning player, and he is a superstar in the league. How did he get left off the U.S. team? How did this guy get cut? Honestly, how did that happen? I don't see how that could happen at this point based on what we're seeing. And there is one guy that's not getting nearly enough credit, and that's Nate McMillan. We're all forgetting this is an interim coach who's not going to be an interim coach when all is said and done here. And this team has responded to him absolutely brilliantly. Here's McMillan on the Atlanta Hawks being built for this. A lot of coach speak in there, no doubt. But you and I know when we watch teams that are committed to that mentality, how they operate. We're seeing that with the Atlanta Hawks right now. And so they've gone into Milwaukee and stolen one already. I sat here yesterday with Bart talking about how Giannis had to be the best player in this series by far. And Bart's like, I don't know that he is. I don't know that Giannis is the best player in the series. When you're watching a 48-point performance, you know that Trae Young is the best player in the series. That's how it looks. We flip from the NBA to what was an incredible game last night in the NHL as the Islanders force a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, to the Goodyear Hotline we go to welcome in from 98.7 ESPN in New York, Rick DiPietro, the former Islander goalie, number one overall pick, excitingly handsome fella who joins us right now. And Rick, I have to tell you, when the Islanders don't score 5-on-3, and the Lightning come back in less than a minute, put it in the back of the net in the second period, and it's 2-0. I thought that game was absolutely done. So what happened?
Well, in the series, it has been done. I mean, you look at the series, the team that scored first up until last night has won those games. I mean, in Tampa has been deadly scoring first. I mean, the Everly goal at the end of the second period was huge to cut the deficit to one headed into the third. It almost felt like Tampa decided that they could win, like two was enough, and that they could, play smart, stick to their system, and they'd find a way to pull it out. But, for them, I don't think they counted on Barzal deciding he was going to take over in the third period, and that's exactly what he did.
Rick, when you're watching that game unfold and you're a team that finds yourself in that hole, I know that you can always rally from it, but that when you're in that situation, it's not an easy thing to do. So what's the biggest key when that happens? You're in that hole that looks insurmountable against an outstanding team.
Well, I think it starts with the coaching. And, I mean, for my money, there's no one better than Barry Trotz. I mean, how Washington ever let him get away is beyond me, but we'll take it. And I think it's the belief inside that locker room. I mean, the one thing you can say about this Islanders team is they're a resilient bunch. And I think that's a credit to the leadership in that locker room. I think, you know, Clutterbuck, Martin, Cizikas, there's a handful of guys, Andy Green. I mean, you mentioned it, guys that, you know, will rally the troops. And you know what, Chris, at the end of it, we all know how skilled Tampa is, but, I mean, the Islanders beat the crap out of them. I mean, they really did. I mean, losing Kucherov was huge for them, but, you know, you got Stamkos bleeding out of the nose at the end of the second, and Sergachev was dinged up, and Colton was dinged up. And that's what the Islanders do. They wear you down, and if you do beat them, you're going to earn the win.
Rick DiPietro joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Of course, Rick of 98.7 ESPN in New York. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg every morning, 5 to 8 a.m. Rick, you mentioned Kucherov. How big of a deal is this right now for him?
I think it's humongous. You know, a couple things. I mean, one is he doesn't play, which is worst case scenario, obviously, for Tampa. The other is he does play, but he's not, you know, not nearly 100%, which I don't necessarily think he needs to be. I mean, you can pretty much just pencil Brayden Point in for a goal. I mean, that's 9 straight games where he scored a goal. So you just kind of almost count on him scoring in game 7. But the biggest effect for Kucherov is the power play. I mean, the Tampa Bay power play with Kucherov on it in the postseason has been deadly. It's almost at 40%. It's 39%. And without him, which you saw for, you know, the entirety of the regular season, you know, they were around 22%. So that's a big deal. And, you know, I think you saw it at the end of that game, too, is Tampa got a power play later on in that third period. And without Kucherov, you know, not as great, not as elite. So they have enough talent, but I think Kucherov could be the difference. And as an Islander fan, you feel like, you know, you have this whole new renewed sense of belief that your team can go into Tampa in Game 7 and win.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rick, you know, I think about a game like last night, and so many times we talk about how much energy it can cost you to come back in a game like that, and it's a relatively quick turnaround. Would that be your biggest concern for the Islanders going into tomorrow night? And if not, what would be?
Well, I think my biggest concern, I mean, it can go both ways, right? Like, it's tough to come back, but it's do or die for you, right? I mean, you see... That's why it's so hard for these in any sport to close out a series, because it's tough for you as the team that has, you know, the luxury of having another game to match that other team's desperation level, which I thought you saw in the third period. The Islanders took it to a different level. Barzell took it to a different level, and that's not easy to match. I just have a feeling that, you know, going into Game 7, the amount of confidence that you have if you're Tampa is that, you know, listen, we're the Stanley Cup champs. You know, over the last 2 years, we haven't lost back-to-back playoff games. And, oh, by the way, the best goalie in the world, he's on our team, and he hasn't lost in back-to-back games in the postseason. So, I mean, it's a toss-up just because it's a Game 7, which would be exactly why if I was Tampa, there was no chance I wanted to get to a Game 7. But, I mean, it's both teams have to feel pretty good about themselves going into this game.
Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, joined by Rick DiPietro, DCR on 98.7 ESPN, 5 to 8 every morning. Rick, what would give you confidence if you're the Islanders?
Listen, it's demonstrated performance. I mean, the thing that you know, I feel like would be something that would be in the back of my mind would have been, you know, can we fight back? If this team takes an early lead on us, you know, can we, the style of game we play, can we do enough to get back in the game and win? And they showed you in game six they could do that. Like, they're more than capable of playing a style of game that can beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think it's going to be, you know, in game sevens and big games like this, you know, I just heard you talking about Giannis and Trae Young and everything else. Your stars have to be your stars. Like, role players, that's great. They're going to chip in. They're going to do the things they need to do. But your guys have to step up. And I thought Barzal stepped up in the third period. He's going to have to do the same thing in game seven. Varlamov's going to have to play great, which for the most part he has. I mean, Chris, you're talking about a team that got beat 8-0.
Yeah.
They lost game five 8-0, and they found a way to – let's put it this way. Tampa scored 12 consecutive goals from game four through to game six, and the Islanders were able to bounce back and come up with a huge win to push to game seven.
Absolutely remarkable. Rick, one last one on this. Lou Lamoriello is just unfreaking real as a GM and probably not recognized across sports. Is Lou Lamoriello the Jerry West of the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy. I mean, he just won his back-to-back general manager of the year award. He knows how to build a team. He knows how to find the pieces that he needs. And you're talking about, you know, trade deadline. He brings in Palmieri and Zajac, which were big moves for us. And it's accountability. I mean, it really is. Like, he has his hands, you know, in everything. He sees everything. He holds everyone to the highest standard, and guys recognize that. I'll never forget when he got hired. You know, he was friendly with some of the guys that are still on the Islanders. Like, there was concern, like, you know, am I going to be good enough? Will he, you know, will he want to trade me? Will he want to keep me? We're going to have to shave our beards. Like everyone knows that you have to answer to Lou. And it starts at Lou, goes all the way down through Trotz and the leadership group on that team.
Would you shave for Lou?
To play on a team like this, I do. I mean, I'd shave my whole body. I mean, I already do, but I would do. I'd manscape whatever I need to do.
I admire the dedication. Rick, I want to hit you on Jacob deGrom real quick. We're talking to Rick DiPietro of 98.7 ESPN in New York and 5 to 8 every morning with DCR. Rick, with deGrom, do you feel like the Mets are handling him properly right now? This has been a big concern of mine when you have these three little injuries that pop up. I feel like your body's trying to tell you something bigger.
Chris, do you think the Mets are handling deGrom or deGrom is handling the Mets?
I think the Mets are letting DeGrom handle the Mets.
I think that's exactly what's going on, and they have a history of doing that. I just don't think they know what's going on. I mean, he's had, you know, how many different MRIs? They don't see anything in the MRI, so structurally everything's good. I think just they're relying on how he feels. I mean, I don't see. I mean, they've done an unbelievable job with all the injuries, and they've been besieged by injuries, of putting themselves in a position where they're leading the division. So if you need, and no one wants to see it because he's having one of the best seasons we may ever see as a starting pitcher, right? Like, that's the other thing that ties into this. But, I mean, you can give him a rest. Like, he can miss a start. That's fine if that means that he's going to be back and can give you more than 5 innings and 70 pitches. I don't think that's something that we necessarily want to have as a trend here moving forward.
No, I think there are two things at work here. I don't think Jacob deGrom has to throw 30 pitches a game over 100 miles an hour. And I also think that while he will tell you during the game if something doesn't feel right to avoid what could be something bigger in between starts, he's going to tell you he feels fine because he doesn't want to miss the next start. I think he's looking at this as, this is my chance to have the greatest season that any pitcher has ever had going into a situation where we're going to be talking about a contract based off of one that I signed that was absolutely absurd.
Yeah, see, I don't want to, and that's the one thing that Brody Van Wagenen did well while he was the GM here, was get him to sign that contract, which looks ridiculously reasonable right now. My only concern is this, and I don't want to believe it because I know what kind of competitor he is, but I know he has to be thinking about it. Like, he's in the midst of, like you just said, possibly the greatest season we've ever seen, the most dominant season we've ever seen. I don't want to believe that he is trying to protect that. And you know what I mean when I'm saying that? Like, as he knows what's at stake, and then there's situations where, okay, I came in, I did what I have to do, I'm feeling a little bit sore, so that's enough. I'm good.
I think more than anything, you look at Bauer and he sees the money that's being handled now and he fired his agents. I'd be pretty annoyed too, to tell you the truth.
Well, I'd be annoyed too, but I also realize, I mean, you're talking about, it's the money, yeah, that's great. Like, everyone, I mean, wants to have that financial security. But, I mean, more importantly, for a guy like Jacob deGrom, the way, you know, I know he competes, I mean, to be where he's at, this, you know, far along in a season with the kind of numbers he has. I mean, Chris, you're talking about a guy who strikes out 47% of the batters he faces. I mean, his ERA is half a run. And no one's even close. The next closest guy is a whole run worse than that. So, I mean, that's also playing into this, is that I think you were 100% right, is that he knows what he's doing here, and he wants to make sure he continues to do it.
As usual, great insight, Rick. Rick DiPietro of DCR, 98.7 ESPN, 5 to 8 every morning in New York City. Let the hair grow out, stay handsome, but I know that's redundant.
I love you. You're the best.
I love you too. Rick DiPietro with us, breaking it down from the Islanders, forcing a Game 7. We're just getting rolling on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for the boys today. Rick brought you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Up next, we get into the Clippers, finding themselves in a familiar spot tonight. But the results are going to be different. We tell you why in just moments. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Back in moments with just that, the Clippers and Suns in Game 3. Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
The Clippers may get one of these next couple of games, but this is not what we've seen from the Clippers in the first two series. I can guarantee you that. Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Doris Burke is going to join us a little bit later on to break down all things NBA playoffs. And let's be clear, when I look at what's going on right now and how the Suns have taken care of business in the first couple of games of this series, does it look a whole lot different than what we saw with the Clippers in their first two rounds of falling behind two games to none? No, it doesn't look that much different, but there is one major difference in this series. The Suns are better. That's the difference. The Suns are the better basketball team. The Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard. You have to operate under the assumption that Kawhi Leonard's not playing again this year. You need to get past that and just assume that that's going to be the case. Because what has given any indication that they are anywhere close with Leonard at this point? I just don't see anything to suggest that they'll have their best player out there. So, with that said, we're pretty confident that you can see from Paul George a performance like we saw for him last series to help move them forward. But I don't know that you can continue to see that on a consistent level to the point where Paul George is going to carry a team. I just don't see that. I think more than anything, the Clippers are going to have to rely on other guys that I just don't have enough faith in. I don't have enough faith in Zubats. I don't have enough faith in Kennard. I don't feel like there's enough there to really help them out against a far superior team in the Phoenix Suns. And oh, by the way, they haven't had their best player for the first two games in Chris Paul, or second best player as it were, but their most important leader. So Paul is coming back in Game 3 tonight, and it's hard to imagine that he's not going to make them infinitely better, and he's not going to have a more important role in a team going on the road now in this situation, and understanding that when you have them down, you have to step on their neck. This is Chris Paul's year. This is Chris Paul's year to get to the postseason, or to get to the championship level and potentially win a title. This is it. He's got a great shot. He's got tremendous, tremendous players on his team. You have to love what not just Devin Booker has done, But what so many of these role players has done, what Cam Johnson has done, what Cam Payne has done, they have put themselves in a good position to win this series because they're the more superior, gifted team. And the other team is lacking a superstar. And you know what? You might be a team that nobody can kill. But you also lose your best player, it becomes a lot easier to knock you off. First two series, super impressive what they were doing. Super impressive. Now, we're at the next level here. We're at the next level, and the Clippers are a team that I think is only going to get so far in a series like this. And I have to tell you, this is not a 7-game series. This is not a 6-game series. This is a 5-game series. There's no reason to believe that it's going to be much more than that when you see just how uber talented the Suns are. I'm Ayton is going to post 20-10, and it's going to be the quietest 20-10 that you can post. And he's going to do everything you need to do to win. Paul has instilled such a mentality and has had such an impact on a team that appeared to be absolutely nowhere a year ago. You just have to feel incredibly good about where they are. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's begin today. Mel in Queens up first. Mel, what do you got, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, I'm just enjoying the show.
I want to appreciate that.
I think sometimes these narratives is kind of bad. Like, I got more confidence in Paul George than I have in Chris Paul. Chris Paul hasn't accomplished anything. So him coming back for me means nothing. I've seen Paul George go to conference finals and lead a team and carry a team. And if that's the Paul George they're going to get, then I think the Clippers have a great chance of winning the series. And I also think the comments you made earlier in regards to the Bucks, and you mentioned Michael Jordan, I feel like that whole Michael Jordan narrative, I lived through the Michael Jordan narrative, so I'm just speaking in general. We got to stop that because we act like Michael Jordan's the only winner. Like, he's not the greatest winner when we talk about championships. So it's sad that we got to compare everything on how he did it or how Kobe did it. Kobe has 5 championships, so does Duncan, so does Magic. They don't have mama mentality. So sometimes we feel like that we have to be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant to win championships. And it's players that have the same amount of championships, you know, that play totally different. So let players do them. I feel like the Bucks are going to win. It's probably going to be the Bucks and the Clippers in the chip, I'm thinking.
Look, the Bucks are going to come back, and it's going to be a good series. I don't expect them to walk away, Mel, and thanks for the call. But I don't expect them to win this series right now, I have to tell you. And that's amazing to me that I'm saying that. Part of it is because I don't want to underestimate what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young right now. But the Bucks have done really nothing through this postseason that has impressed me. They blew through the Miami Heat, and they came within a toe of going home and having their coach fired. A toe on the line. That's it. Why would I think otherwise? I will take the team that is playing with a much better karma about them right now, like the Hawks are, as opposed to a team that, frankly, is just too up and down for me. You got James Harden out there on one leg, and Durant is an all-world player, and he almost single-handedly beat you again by himself. Because your role players and your number 2 and number 3 players, they're not strong in that category. Chris Middleton is not a strong number 2 player. Jrue Holiday is a good, tough player defensively, but he's not a strong number 3 player. He's capable of having a big night or two, as we saw offensively, but he's not somebody that I'm going to look at and say, this guy's consistently going to put in 25 for me, and I'm going to feel good about that in the postseason. He and P.J. Tucker are supposed to be making the difference defensively. A couple times last night, I didn't see that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You know, it hasn't been the usual suspects in the NBA playoffs. Not necessarily a bad thing. We'll get to that in a little bit. But up next, Team USA is set. I'm not inspired. We'll tell you why right after we tell you about our friends from Home Depot. Now, you can get more out of this summer with more from the Home Depot and 4th of July savings throughout the store and online. Whether you're ready to paint a wall, upgrade an appliance, fire up a new grill, or spread color throughout your garden, the Home Depot can help you match low prices with your high expectations for your next project. Whatever plans you have for your home, you can make this summer a summer to remember. With the Home Depot, how doers get done.
Bart and Hahn.
Team USA's roster is set. Woohoo! Woohoo! Oh, my. It is Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Western Conference Finals tonight on ESPN Radio. Tune in. Game 3, Clippers hosting the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. So if you missed it, Team USA, the full roster is set, and there is star power at the top. It is exciting. How do you not get excited when you start reading down the roster and you start to see these names? Kevin Durant, he's in. All right. Outstanding. Dame Lillard. Dame Dalla. Can't get enough. Devin Booker putting on a show in the postseason. This is absolutely phenomenal. Jason Tatum, another great young star in the league. Bradley Beal. Okay, this is shaping up brilliantly. Chris Middleton. What? Zach LaVine. Bam Adebayo. Draymond Green. Drew Holiday. What? Kevin Love? Do we need to see Kevin Love on Team USA? Jeremy Grant? I understand what these guys are, but I can't get Trae Young? He doesn't make the cut? Zion Williamson doesn't make the cut? What am I missing here? Yeah, I'm not worried about matchups in the Olympics. I'm not worried about, I can get positionless guys out on the floor. Kawhi Leonard doesn't make the cut. Now, granted, he may not end up playing anyway. Paul George isn't there? What are we talking about here? I mean, I looked down the second half of this roster. What, did Willie Cauley-Stein say no? He can't make it? Damian Dotson needs a blow? I got to have some time off? Where's TJ McConnell? I mean, come on. Get me some players in playing Team USA that actually are going to drum up a ton of interest and be like, yeah, this is going to be awesome to watch them together. This is lacking inspiration, this roster. Somebody can't get on the horn with Jamal Crawford. Hey, what are you doing? Want to go play? Let's go play this summer. I mean, come on. I understand that you want to get new guys involved, but the bottom half of the roster this season does not feel like anything inspirational, not in the least. Wow. It's, does this look to you like a roster that cruises to win the gold? Maybe the top five or six. Durant may end up playing 40 minutes again. Not 48, it's 40 in Olympic competition. Got to play all four quarters. It may not be one of those situations where we can afford to let you sit on the sideline, KD. We're going to milk you for all you're worth here. How do you not have Trae Young on this team after what's going on right now? Maybe you're watching what's going on right now and say, that's an electric player that we need to get out in front of more. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Well, these playoffs themselves, they have not been about the teams that you're used to seeing. Maybe that's a good thing. We discussed Doris Burke, the greatest, joins us next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.